to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. Strictly Anonymous podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your grief flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chains.
Here are your hosts, Kathy Kay and Tommy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can follow me at Cartoon Therapy or at Strict Anonymous. I get people following me all the time, and I never know if it's because they listen to the show or because they just, you know, find me on Twitter. If you want to be on the show, I love to talk to anybody that either has a problem and wants advice, or somebody that lives a secret life and wants to talk about it, or, you know, kind of anything like that. I typically post ads online on Craigslist, or I've tried adult friend finders too, but Craigslist really is like the gift that keeps on giving. I really get the best people from Craigslist. But I also, you know, I'll talk to anybody. Like, I just like to talk to people and have different people on the show. And lately I've been telling, just saying on my intro, that if you're a listener and you sort of have a secret life or you have an interesting story that you want to talk about, email me and I'll have you on. And I taped two different people this week who actually emailed me. They were listeners of the show and they heard me, you know, doing my little bit, and they actually sent me an email and I'm having them on. And today I'm having a woman on, which I'm very excited about. Because guys that listen to my show always email me and say, why don't you have more women on? And I, you know, solicit people on Craigslist. So there's just not a lot of women that are on there. So that's why I mostly get men. But I definitely want to have more women on the show. And this woman was a listener and she just thought, oh, well, why don't I share my backstory? And her backstory is really interesting. And it's just like a great podcast. She, you know, without explaining everything, she wrote me like, you know, a long-winded email about like her, you know, what she started at, like she started having sex at a very young age, and she like got it on and did like pretty hardcore stuff early on with boyfriends. Which is very interesting. And she gets into some of those stories. So without getting, and then she gets married and she has an affair online and her husband finds out, and then they're better for it. They work through it and they stay together. And, you know, that's the whole story, but it's like really interesting to listen to the specifics of everything. You know, cause we get into some stuff about monogamy and cheating, and this is what we talk about all the time and sex. And like I said, she's very open-minded sexually, this woman, and she's tried some really cool things, if you ask me. I was kind of like jealous of her, and you'll hear about that on the show because she's like done, like, you know, she was pretty ballsy in her young age. And so, like I said, she was a listener of the show and thought, oh, I'll call in because I say that I want callers and explain her story. And she felt like it was very liberating to do that. And I think that it really is. So if you're listening to the show and you're like her, you have like an interesting life story that you think other people would find interesting or maybe learn from. What I always think is that people could learn from listening to other people's stuff, you know. And I think her story people could really learn from, because I think she's, you know, the everything that she went through with her husband is something that anybody that's been married for a long period of time could relate to. And they're actually a success story. So if you have a story like that, or you have a problem, or you have a secret life, or you're just a freak, or you just want to call into the show, send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com and I'll have you on. Again, that's at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll tape an episode. All the episodes are pre-recorded, so I could totally work around your schedule. Even if you live, you know, not in the United States, we could do it via Skype or WhatsApp. I mean, you know, somehow we could get you on to call in to the show. So I would love to have more people from the show call in, more women especially too, because it's always great for me to talk to women, because I don't get a lot of women. And it's only because I go on Craigslist. Nobody knows, as much as you people are anonymous calling me, I'm sort of anonymous. I don't tell anybody that I really do this podcast. Not many people know. So I can't put this shit out on my Facebook or, you know, my personal stuff, because I don't want people to know. So the only place I could solicit people that I know of at this point is Craigslist. If you have any other ideas of how I could find people to call into my show and get more callers, like, let me know. You could send an email to strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. I answer back all of my emails, and I love when listeners write in and give me their two cents or give me ideas about the show or want to be on the show. Also, write a review. I love when people write reviews for my podcast. Of course, the good ones. I only like good ones. I think I only have one bad review, And I got that very early on because some guy thought it was like I set up a podcast, which was bullshit. I've never set up any podcasts. But so write a review if you're a fan of the show and subscribe. And so I'll be right back. I forget what this girl. Oh, this girl's name is Rainbow. I'll be right back on with Rainbow.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? To anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly anonymous.
Hi, is this Rainbow, right? I'm calling you Rainbow.
Yes.
Rainbow. So I know that you sent me a long email and you gave me all the information about what we're going to talk about today. And I just like for you to just like start your story off. I think what I want to start off with is I know like on a side note at the end, you're like, oh, by the way, I slept with a 55-year-old when I was 18. And
yeah.
So we can start there, but then we'll get into like everything else, all like the really good details. But and sorry about mixing up Central Time. I have no idea. Like Central Time is only an hour behind Eastern Time, or is that different at different times of the year? I don't know. Am I so dumb?
I don't know.
You don't actually know either. Okay.
No.
You were gonna say to me that you were listening to one of the episodes. You had something to say also about one of my episodes, previous ones, right?
Yeah, I listened to this morning. I listened to this last one with Craigslist Bill.
Uh-huh.
And when you guys were talking about whether the swinging couple, the one who likes to watch his wife have sex with the other men, if he's real or not, and at first I was like, well, I didn't know if it was, but I think he's true. I think he's being honest. I just
have you
to
listened to
there.
All? Have you listened to all of them?
I didn't listen.
Which ones of John?
To all but one of his.
No, but of John, you listened to a bunch of his?
Yes, I listened to almost all of them. There's the last one that you did with him. I haven't listened to that one yet.
That one is a little far-fetched. I got so many emails, I have to tell you, from people. Like one of my listeners who always emails me his two cents. I really like him, but he's a little, he's very opinionated. He's like, if you don't call him out on his shit, then I think you're in on it. Like he thinks like, I know that he's lying and I allow him to. But I got a lot of people that are like, he's full of shit. And this one, you have to listen to it because he did say some stuff that seemed very... like not real. So I don't know, like maybe he could be mixing some truth with some fiction. You know, some people are like a little bit of storytellers, like they tell a story and they exaggerate and then borders on lying. Like maybe that's what it is. It's not really my job. And I've said this before on my podcast and I've told people that write into me, like to sort of back my callers into a corner and ask them if they're lying or anything. You know what I mean? Like that's not what I do. He called into my show.
Right.
I can't really do that. You know, he's really nice. I've gotten to know him over, you know, just talking to him. So I can't do that to him. I feel like it's kind of interesting if he is lying and I'd love to get into that. I just don't know how to pose it with him. Like, I don't know how to bring it up, you know, without sort of turning him off or being rude to him, you know. You know, when he's ready to admit he's lying, if he's lying, he will. But my listeners are getting sick of it. But the good thing about you is that you're real and you were like a listener of the show, right? I mean, this is how I get girls. This is the only way I get girls because no girls are ever on Craigslist. And I do get guys calling, writing in and saying, why don't you have more girls on? So I was so glad that you emailed me.
Well, I found your podcast happened to find it and I immediately fell in love with it just because I love hearing about other people, whether it's problems or just different adventures or whatever. And so, and I enjoy you and I like your personality. And so I think it's been really fun to listen to all these different people come and just talk about their life.
Yeah. That's what I like too. That's why I do the show. You know what I mean? Cause I just like analyzing things and like getting into shit with people, you know, and like, and so my friends are like really irritated by that part of my personality, you know, because sometimes they really don't want to talk about it. But I find that on my podcast, if somebody calls in or they write in or they reply to my ad, that's exactly what they want to do. So it's like perfect. It's the perfect pairing. I want to not scrutinize. I want to like analyze your life with you and you want to like dump it on me. Like you said, like you have a lot of stuff. Was that you that you said like you have a lot of stuff that you just like to put it out there because you never really have, right?
Right.
A lot of like your secret stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's just some things not everybody needs to know about or wants to know about, or you might not want to share it with the people that are directly in your life every day. They might look different. So
yes, people are so judgmental. That's the problem. That's why people don't talk about this stuff. I think other countries it's different. They're more like, I think America, we're very prude, you know? And so it's even worse here if people are really talking about what they're doing behind closed doors. And that's why I think it's great on my show, because people call up and you hear about all this stuff that people are doing. And, you know, everyone, a lot of people are doing it. People that are sitting next to people right now that they have no idea are doing these kind of things, you know. So I find it interesting, too. So you're, so what's your deal now? You're 35, right? You're married, I think you said, for 8 years, right? You have kids.
Yep.
And you started having sex very early on.
I did. I was 14 the first time, and the and that first night, it was me and another girlfriend of mine. We had snuck out of our houses and met up with these guys, and we both lost our virginity that night. And to, I mean, there were two different guys, but we were in the same room. So
right, so it was a little orgy. Was there? There was obviously like a lot of alcohol involved. Were you guys like wasted?
We had smoked pot, and it's also the first night I had ever smoked pot, and I didn't really drink at the time, and so. You know, I was only 14, and I don't know. I never really cared about drinking that much, so even back then. But yeah, I mean, we had been smoking pot, and it just, we went into it knowing that kind of that was what was going to happen, but.
How did you know? Like, was it sort of talked about, or like, were you and the guy and the girl, like, were you all always like.
It was me and my friend, the other girl. Yeah, we had kind of, you know, knew that we wanted to lose our virginity, and we knew that these guys were probably going to be more than willing to
of course.
Help us with that. And so, we like, hey, you guys want to get together on this night? And the guy that we went to his house, he was the same age as us. His mom was, she didn't care. He did whatever he wanted. So,
right. So you guys both lost your virginity. So you lost your virginity at 14 and you were like ready to get it on. I was the same way. I have to say, when I was like 15, I couldn't wait to lose my virginity. I always wanted to just like start having sex. Not so much in a slutty way. I don't know. It was more a curiosity. You know, I always wanted to be more of a grown up than be a child. You know, I wanted to know what that was all about and sort of be in the know, you know, and so I couldn't wait myself. And I, you know, and so I guess you and your friends were the same thing. I think people nowadays, you know, you're 35, I'm like 10 years older than you, but so you were still, I think in your generation, it wasn't common that people were doing it at 14. I think nowadays people do it earlier and girls are much more open-minded sexually, but I know in my day, it wasn't the case.
Right. I agree. I was pretty young amongst, you know, the girls in my school. So, I mean, I think nowadays you're right. It is a little bit more, I mean, with the internet, there's so much more out there for the kids, but yeah, I mean, it was young, and I don't regret it or anything. You know, I didn't have any super bad experiences. I think the worst experience I had didn't probably happen until I was older and I was 18 and I slept with that older man.
Yeah, I know. And you said he was the worst, like, was it? Because he was, but hadn't you heard? So you said, like, this is just a little side thing where you're like, oh, when I was 18, you slept with a 55-year-old, and you heard that he, like, he was really good at going down on girls, right? And he was he was supposedly a really good lay, right? But it turned out that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Well, I knew him from this older lady I was friends with, and she was a bartender, and she knew him and knew of his conquests. And you know, it would come up jokingly. Well, it just ended up that I'd go to her bar and she'd serve me, you know, alcohol even though I wasn't old enough. And it just, I was really drunk one night and he was there and he was hitting on me. And I just went back to his house with him and thinking that I was in for this great experience. And it was awful. I mean, he really, it wasn't good at all. And then I felt like, weird because he was really, really old and he wasn't really that good looking. And so I just kind of got up in the middle of the night when he was snoring and I left.
And when you're 18, I mean, someone that snores is like, you know, a grandfather.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, this guy is as old as my dad.
But... Yeah. And he wasn't even hot and he was bad. I don't think that's an age thing, like, because I have, like, literally slept with people of all different ages. Right now, I'm sure that you're older. Like, one of the best lays I ever had was a guy who was 52. It wasn't when I was really young. So I don't think it's because he was old, but did he have, like, old man's ass? Like, did he have that old man ass thing or like a really old body? Like, I know the guy I was with didn't have that.
His body wasn't that bad, but it was starting to get kind of like that old man sagginess.
Yeah, you know, just the skin.
So it was kind of like that. And no, he did not have a nice ass. And he did not eat pussy well at all. I don't know if he's having an off night or something. I don't know. But right. I was not willing to give it another shot. So.
Right. That was an alcohol-induced sort of thing that you regret. So now, but let's go back to your high school days. Because in your you dated a guy for a while in high school. And you guys definitely, you know, did some pretty hardcore things, right? I mean, as far as high school is concerned, even if you were like older, you know, like you guys. So tell me about that. What happened with your high school guy?
Well, we dated almost all through high school, from like 10th grade clear through till I graduated. And, you know, I mean, we had a lot of sex. We were teenagers. So, you know, you're wanting to just experiment, and he was willing and open to experiment with a lot of things. So
the great thing about when you're a teenager, because I think back to this nowadays all the time, because you just don't have sex like that when you're older, is that like you have nothing else to do. Like, you don't really have a car. You don't have any money. You can't really go anywhere.
Right.
So all you do is like your whole day is spent like getting laid. It was like fun. You know what I mean? Because it was like all you could do.
Well, it's true. And his parents had a really nice house with a hot tub and.
Right.
In the same room with the hot tub, they had dart boards, and I mean, it was really nice. And so, and they loved me, so they didn't care if I was over there. And so we'd spend the day in the hot tub and, you know, experiment with all sorts of different things. But he also had an older stepbrother, and his older stepbrother lived there too.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a huge crush on him, and that's what I initially really liked. But he was enough older that.
How old were you at the time? And you and your guy were the same age, right? You and your boyfriend?
Yeah, I was 16.
And then the stepbrother? Good news. Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
The stepbrother was like 22 or 23 at the time when I was 16. And so he was like, no, you're too young. I don't want to be in trouble. And, you know, I found out, too, he had just gotten out of, like, this weird, bad relationship. I don't know all the details of it or anything like that. But I had a huge crush on him. He was really hot. And he knew it. We all knew it. It wasn't, like, that hidden. And so we kind of flirt back and forth. And the guy, my boyfriend, didn't seem to care, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember that part too much, but he just didn't seem to care.
Uh-huh.
Well, it ended when I was 18, and we were out together all one night. We were out fishing at his parents had bought a new house, and they had a pond and had a dock. So we were all out fishing, all three of us, one night. And it got really flirty because it was boring to me. I wasn't particularly fishing. I was just...
I know. I don't get it with fishing and guys. My brother is a big fisherman. I think he's like, it's a Brokeback Mountain gay thing, but... Everyone else seems to think he just actually enjoys sitting there doing nothing in the middle of a lake. Like, I think it's so dull.
Yeah. So, they're just fishing and I'm bored. So
right.
I start, and it was summer and it's hot here in the summer. So I was dressed scantily, and we went back up to the house eventually, and the house was completely empty because they hadn't moved in yet. I suppose they were remodeling some parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where they started chasing me around the house. And
the two brothers?
They'd chase me around the house, and when they'd catch me, they'd take clothes off and I'd run and pretend like I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And they eventually got me naked and we had an amazing threesome together. And it was a really, 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 really good experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then not too long after that, the guy and I broke up and we didn't really, I mean, it wasn't like really a bad, but we didn't keep in touch. It wasn't.
Okay, but well, before you go on to the other stuff, because you have a lot of like interesting things that come next too, I know that. But like what I want to know just about that scenario is like after it happened, like was your guy, the guy like your boyfriend, was he freaked out or was he totally fine with it? Because like, you fucked his stepbrother like in front of him. Like, so your threesome involved everything, right? Like you guys, you screwed them both, like everything kind of thing. Did you do double? Let me ask you this. I have to. Did you do a DP, double penetration?
Yeah.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. I admire girls that could do that. Like it looks really hard.
I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. And so it was the first time I'd ever done, obviously, and I was nervous, but I did enjoy it. The boyfriend didn't really seem jealous. I think we both kind of knew we were maybe outgrowing the relationship a mm-hmm. little bit, and mm-hmm. so it probably wasn't going to be, you know, it wasn't going to lead to marriage or something like that. So I don't think he was too jealous. It never came up as jealousy. We'd talk about it a couple times, and then eventually, not too long after that, we broke up.
Right. And so, did you ever screw that guy again? You did, right?
Yes.
The stepbrother,
about,
right?
About 8 months later, he called me and he said, are you interested in meeting up with me and just hooking up? And I said, well, yeah, sure. I mean, I wasn't dating anybody. And so he said, well, what if I have another friend involved? And I'm like, well, it would depend on who it is and what's going on. And he told me, and I knew of this guy, and so I was okay with it. And he's like, well, I'll call you back in a few days, and I'll give you the details. Mm-hmm. And so he called me back, and he's like, all right, we're going to pick you up, and you're going to be wearing a mini skirt, that like a dress, a mini dress that zips up, like all the way up, mm-hmm. and stockings. And he told me what to wear and what to bring, and that they'd pick me up. So the day came, and they did. They picked me up. His friend was very, very wealthy. His parents had left him a lot of money. So he picked me up. They picked me up in a really nice car, and we went back to this guy's place. And it was a really nice house, and mm-hmm. they made drinks, and they had pot. And, you know, we kind of watched some movies, like started watching a movie. And then they just started ordering me around, you know, like get naked, stand in front of us, mm-hmm. do this, do that, whatever. And I gladly did it. They were, I liked them both.
Right.
And he had,
and with, that was a turn on to you, right? Like, I mean, you were into that.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I like being bossed around. I definitely identify as a submissive. And this guy kind of introduced me to that with, as far as, you know, like being restrained a little bit during sex or spanked, kind of knocked around a little bit, and I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
So them ordering me around, that worked for me, definitely. It was great. And we screwed the whole night. I mean, all three of us. And then there was times when one of them would fall asleep, and me and the other guy went to the hot tub for quite a while and smoked a lot of pot in there while we had sex. So I mean, that was a really fun night. I look back at that with a lot of good memories. So
right. And the other guy was hot. Like, you were always into the stepbrother, right? He was hot. Was the other guy hot too?
Yeah, he was hot.
And they didn't do, they're not doing anything with each other, right? It's just they're straight guys doing with you, right? And did you do double penetration? Did you do double penetration with them too?
Yeah, I did a couple times that night with them.
Right.
But they were very straight. Yeah, they.
I have to say, I'm a little jealous. I don't think. I mean, this is the truth, and I've said this on my podcast before. The double penetration thing I've done, like with a toy and a guy, because it's always been. I think it's hot too, but I've never felt like I could actually do two guys in the same time and feel okay about it. I don't know. That's just me. You know what I mean? But like I do. But I do. That is a fantasy of mine that I don't know if I lived it out in real life, how I'd feel about it. But I think it's great that you do and you have and you enjoy it. And it's cool. Do you know what I mean? So I'm a little jealous. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that stems too is I read a lot of erotica from the time I was really young, and so I read a lot about these things, and maybe it wasn't such a surprise, and it was kind of intriguing then, so it was kind of always fun to have read about these things and known about them and then actually experience them.
Totally.
You know,
Yeah.
In reader. And so, yeah, that was a really good night. That was a fun night. And I think if he ever would have called me again, I would have jumped right on it. But I think he's married now. And, you know.
Which one? The other guy or the stepbrother?
The stepbrother.
Right. But you say that he introduced you to like rough sex, bondage and stuff. Like, did you guys get it on more than that? Or was it that night that they did a lot of rough things to you?
Well, they did that night. But we also were friends. Like before we ever had sex or anything, we were friends. I mean, we really, we would talk about different stuff. We liked the same music and we liked the same things. And so he kind of introduced it to me before we ever even had sex, you know?
Right. You guys were always talking about sex with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'd have magazines and movies or whatever. And so and he was a lot older and he, you know, had a woman that was experienced in that before. And so he totally introduced it to me before we really ever even had sex. It was like a friend thing.
Right. So it was something that you were always looking into and you were like, you know, sort of, you knew you were into it anyway, because he sort of brought it up and you're like, oh yeah, I like this. So you were into the bond. You realize you're into that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, back then it wasn't like you could just jump on Google and
it's so different, right?
And Google anything.
I know.
And so it was like, you were finding out your information from other people and so it's like now there's so much openness with it and like with Set Life and with all the people that, I mean, you can just find anybody. You can just easily find it. And it wasn't quite so easy.
I feel like in a weird
way for me.
Yeah, no. And I feel like a weird way. I don't know about you. And I don't know if I've talked about this on my show or because I know I recently talked about this. I don't know if it's on my show or with a friend. But like for me, I think it's kind of sad. Like when we were growing up, because there wasn't the internet and all that free porn and you could just have whatever you want, whenever you want and see whatever, you know, that they don't have that experience that we had when we were younger, where like if you got a new porn or you saw a dirty thing, you know what I mean? Like it was like the most amazing thing ever because it wasn't so easily accessible. You know, now you could be horny and go on and be like, oh, do I want to watch this? And you're like, you could just push it to such limits and anything is available that it almost takes something out of it, I think, for people. You know, they don't have, right?
Agree.
Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I just think, you know, discovering something maybe by accident just because you happen to see it, you know, or whatever. Now it's not saying you can just find whatever you want.
Yeah, it takes the fun out of it. Right. And so to me, when we were younger, if you found anything, it was like the most illicit, hot thing you've ever seen because you don't see things like that often. It wasn't easily available. So it's like, and now I think, you know, and I feel sad for the younger generation because they'll never have that feeling that we would have when we were younger. When you, like I said, when you got that new porn or you found like someone's porn and you looked at it, you know, or whatever that was, that you're like, oh my God, it was like the hottest thing. Now you could like, I sometimes could be in the mood and be Googling a million things that, and they don't do anything for me. It's like overload, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, and you know, like then it was a big deal to turn 18 so you could go into the porn store.
Totally.
You know, the adult store. And now, I mean, you could probably be a 13-year-old and order anything like that from Amazon just because.
Oh, yeah. I once I lived in the city and I had a really good friend who was 26 when I was like 26. It was like when 42nd Street in the city was 42nd Street, where it was hardcore porn stuff, you know, and my friend's family, his business was porn. You know, it was like a very legit old school, like his grandfather started this business and he was taking over for his dad. And so when I was in college, I worked for him and I would have to dupe porn, like make copies of it and then write like write the blurbs and stuff. And it was always fun for me. So porn for me was always like a fun thing. And I remember one year giving porn to everyone for Christmas because I had no money. And I thought like, oh, I walked past this porn store and was like, you know, get like two things for $20. And I'm like, oh, who's not going to love like a new porn, you know, because no one wants to go to stores and buy it, you know? So I went in and bought like 30 things of porn to give everybody. And like the guy like gave me his card. He thought I was like a hooker or something. I don't know. Cause I was like, I want the boxes too. These are presents. You know, he wanted to give me the things. But you can't get that nowadays. I don't even know why I brought up that story. But Go on to when you met. Let's get back to you, though, because I know that I could only have you for a certain amount of time, and I want to make sure I get all your information. So then you meet your husband, right? Like, how old are you when you meet your guy that you're with now?
I was 22 when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And we met through friends, and we just sort of, I don't know, I mean, we hit it off. We had a lot in common, and, you know, he was different than anybody I'd ever really dated before, and he's a really nice person, you know. I've dated some scuzzy guys before. So it's kind of refreshing when you meet somebody that's really nice. And, you know, we had a really good sex life, and then I had my first child, and I don't know. I guess I think looking back, I know it was me, but I didn't realize it then that it was like my problem. I think I had like postpartum depression. You know, everything changes after you have a baby, and so that kind of got us into a slump. And then I wasn't interested in sex, and we'd always had a really healthy sex life, and it wasn't kinky or anything like that, but
it was good.
I was
right.
Okay with sex. Yeah, and so. Then we play a lot of video games, and we were playing World of Warcraft.
What was it called?
And I met World of Warcraft.
Okay.
It's a big online game, and you play with a whole bunch of people. It's very social.
Uh-huh.
And so you end up playing with the same group of people all the time. And, you know, I made friends online with a lot of the people. Well, one of them was a guy, and we started talking outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd chat like all day because I wasn't working and my husband was, and this guy was at home working, and so we would talk all day, and it eventually turned to like sex stuff, like the BDSM stuff. He was really, really, really into it and had lived that lifestyle for many years, and so of course naturally that intrigued me because I was having no sex, and that had always intrigued me anyways. And we ended up having, you know, a relationship basically over the internet, an online relationship where he was the dominant and I was the submissive, and we would, you know, have phone sex and email pictures and stories and talk and everything else. And
Would you Skype or do like FaceTime? Was that available at that time that you were doing this?
We would Skype, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And was he married, by the way? Was he married?
No.
Okay.
He was not married, no.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he knew I was. He knew my husband, too, because we all played together. But it just, I don't know, it turned into like an obsession almost, just because... Every single day I could talk to him, and he'd tell me what I wanted to hear. And he was always writing me dirty stories, and I'm a huge reader, and I love erotica. It's
uh-huh.
I read all the time. And so
you get turned on by what you hear. Like some people are that way.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Right. Totally.
Mm-hmm. And so he would write me these stories, and sometimes he'd write them and then he'd read them and send them to me. And, you know, they'd involve me or any number of situations. And he just knew what to say, and I enjoyed that thoroughly. And then it all came crashing down, of course, when I didn't know to cover my tracks well enough, apparently, because my husband found some of the emails. And
oh my God, how long? Wait, but yeah. By the way, how long was this? So how long were you guys sort of getting it on via the internet while you were before you got
years.
Caught? Oh, really? So you have, I mean, that's the whole thing with cheating, and people say it all the time. Like, it is kind of easy. Like, you can do it and not get caught if, you know, you have half a brain. I mean, you'll tell me how you got caught.
Right.
But, like, I mean, you got it on with this guy for years. And now, that whole time that you were doing it with him, was your sex life with your husband still kind of lame?
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. Talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today. Beautiful Anonymous.
Yes.
So it didn't help your sex life with your guy. You were just sort of getting your rocks off someplace else.
Because I wasn't pursuing that. And I don't know. It was kind of dysfunctional. We were having, you know, there was other underlying issues. It wasn't just our sex life. So, so it was a whole thing. And then when he found out, it was like, he was immediately, of course, ready to just say, leave. This is cheating. You're cheating.
How did he find out? Tell me what happened.
Because every time he'd come into the room, I'd like turn off the computer. I was acting weird, I guess.
Of course. I'm sure it was obvious.
And he checked my email and they were right there. And then he found a couple pictures I had sent, you know, and so that didn't go over too well. And it wasn't good. But I ended up staying and he said that was fine. We could try to work things out, but there wasn't a guarantee that it was going to be worked out. It was just like, you can't just kick me out in the middle of the night, like the second you find this out. It just wasn't going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And so I immediately, like that very same night, I canceled my email address. I canceled everything. I dropped it. I have not had any ounce of communication with this man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did he contact the guy or say anything, or you just like it just stopped and deleted everything?
It just stopped, and sometimes I think about that, and I like I'll feel a little bit bad because you know he doesn't know what happened, but
he could probably put it together.
I was like, you know, at that moment I had to decide if I wanted to like pursue this guy that lived halfway across the country that. You know, who knows what he was telling me was completely true about
exactly.
himself. You know, I mean, he might have been married. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't think so. But so, you know, or do I want to try to save my marriage? Because I do love my husband and I do love my kids and my family. So I decided at that exact second, I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna just drop this other guy flat on his face because I like the whole excitement of everything, but do I really know him? I don't know. So
right. What are the odds that's like, going to turn out to be something like very slim to none?
And yeah. You know, I have kids and stuff. I'm not going to try to fly halfway across the country to meet some guy that I perhaps don't know as well as I think I do.
Right.
And we, you know, my husband and I, it took a long, long time because this has been 3 or 4 years ago. And we just sat down and we told each other what was going on each of our ends, you know, in the marriage, that why it wasn't maybe working or what was working. Mm-hmm. Although at that point it was like a lot of anger and we worked it out. And I think it was really close to divorce. And I really think that most people probably would have just been like, fuck it. I'm done.
Right.
I'm not going to deal with this, but we decided not to do that. And I'm really, really glad we did decide that because now, today, like, our sex life is amazing. And it's been because I've been open. I opened up to him and I'm like, you know, I need a certain amount of kink in my sex life. I can't just have a vanilla life. And I know that about myself now. And
he never knew that about you before.
He knew I was a little bit freaky, you know. I mean, we had like anal sex, and to him, that was, you know,
the craziest thing, right?
Yeah, and you know, he's been a little bit sheltered in that way, and so I just brought it to him in a positive, you know, informed way, and said, "Let's look at it together and figure out what you like in this world that will work with what I like in this world."
Right.
And so we can, you know, like come together that way. And because we've come together finally in our sex life together, it's made everything else, you know, that much better.
Right. Like all the other stuff in your relationship, you mean?
Right. Like, you know, emotionally, we're obviously a lot closer now because, well, we're, for one thing, we're communicating a lot more. But, you know, when you're married to someone and you're not having sex with them, I just don't think you can feel that close to them. Like, right. I don't know.
It's a
part of it.
It's a part of being intimate. You know what I mean? That's the
difference.
It is. You know, and it has to. It's not everything. I mean, as some people think, oh, it's everything. It's not everything, but it's not. It can't be nothing either. You know, it has to be a part of the pie. You know, it has to be a piece of that pie, you know. And I think all the pieces should be sort of equal, you know, but you have different parts that you have together with somebody. But it has to be there and it should be healthy. But I think anytime you're married with anyone for a long period of time, to think that you're never going to go through a really rough patch, you know what I mean, is unrealistic.
Right.
You know, it's a matter of like whether you're willing to sort of stick it around and work through it. And I always hear people like you when they do. And I think when you have kids and stuff, I think it's really ridiculous sometimes when people that have been together for a really long time and someone cheats once that they're like, oh my God, it's black and white. I have to leave this person. I think that's like bullshit because a lot of times, you know, cheating and unfaithfulness, it seems like terrible. Like if you hear it out of context, when you hear it in the whole story, sometimes it's like you understand how it happens. And sometimes people cheat and it's not something that they want to do. And it happens because of different problems, but it can be resolved and you could work through it. And it doesn't mean once a cheater, always a cheater. People try to be so black and white about it. And it's so stupid. You know, you can't really look at things like in your relationship with you and your guy, like you went through that. You have been married a long time. I think children always change relationships and it's hard both on the men and the woman for different reasons, but you know, you hear that all the time, but it worked for you guys. And I think that that's great. And when you have kids, I think it's worth it and smart. I think it's great when couples do what you guys do and work through the hard times instead of just saying, you know, I'm out of here. And you're smart. Let me tell you, I'm obsessed with Datelines and 48 hours. Like I watch those things all the time. And I think it's because you were the woman and you were cheating. Because how many times I've seen on Dateline these shows where the guy is the one that's having an affair with somebody that lives somewhere else that he doesn't even know. He winds up leaving his wife for that girl. He winds up like killing his wife. And then that other girl is crazy or she kills him. And it's just like, why are these guys so stupid? Like you just think this person that you're having an affair with, it's so hot. You think it's better than your real relationship. It's like you're living in fantasy land. Of course it's better. It's like non-existent. It's like, you know what I mean? It's not a real relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's like you were at least smart enough to know that. It's like half the time these guys are like so fucking dumb. They just see a new piece of ass and they're like, oh my God, this is going to be better than what I have. But it's like that piece of ass is going to be the same real relationship with all these other things too, if you go there, you know?
Yep.
But at least you were smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful too because you just don't know. I mean, you can, somebody can tell you anything that they want to over the internet for a number of years. I mean, they really can. And you can make anybody believe anything if they really want to. And it wasn't worth like dropping my whole life to go chase an unknown. Not to me. I'm not that much of a risk taker, I guess.
No, you're just more. I don't think it's about being a risk taker at all. Absolutely not. I don't think that's what it's about. It's about being like less grounded. I think you're just more grounded. I could get that sense just from talking to you, you know, and you live more in reality than fantasy land. I think a lot of people have issues and they like to check out and they check out through having these kind of affairs. And it's like a, you know, it's a problem, you know, it's a dysfunction. And so, of course, that other thing that isn't really realistic, they could live in that fantasy land, but it's like not a real relationship. A real relationship is what you have with your husband, you know, and it's a lot of different things. And just because the sex has gone out the window doesn't mean you can't work on it or change it. Like you said, like you have a better sex life with him now. And I think that that's
A
great testament to like how, like, you know, just because something's bad doesn't mean that it can't go back to being good or if not or better. Like it's better with him. Right. And did he ever cop to cheating on you? Like, was there any sort of things going on as far as affairs are concerned on his end? Because you weren't having sex with him either?
No, I really, really, really do not. I don't see, he's just not that type of person. And I just don't get that feeling. And if he ever has, then that's in the past. And I don't want to know about it now, but.
I think you would know. I think if you don't, listen, I don't think every guy cheats. I think most guys cheat. A lot of guys cheat. I have a lot of guy friends, but there's like a good 10% that just don't. And you know those guys from a mile away. Like, I just feel, you know what I mean? That's why I think you married him because you said he was like a really nice guy, like nice to the core, you know? I meet a lot of nice guys, but they all have that sleaze factor or that just guy thing that's like, you know, they just gonna fuck the next hot girl that when you turn your back, you know, it's, and a lot of guys are just wired that way. And I don't even think it's necessarily a bad thing. It's a guy thing, but there are those guys and it's like a breed. I always call it, it's like a certain breed of guy that they just wouldn't. And you just know those guys. So I believe you when you say that he would. You know, you're probably right in that assessment. You were the cheater, not him.
Yeah, it was totally me. Well, I don't think it was him at all because, I mean, he was, you know, there were times where he'd still want to initiate it and it was me like, oh, no, I don't feel good or any number of reasons. And so it wasn't like he wasn't horny. I know he took care of himself quite a few times because I wasn't interested and I wasn't interested because I was, you know, cheating. And I'm not necessarily against, not for my relationship, I wouldn't say it would work, but you know, there's relationships that are open and having sex with other people. It's great. That's fine. If that works for them, that's great. But this was more than that because I was emotionally like, I looking back, I know I was emotionally invested in this other guy too. It wasn't just like, oh, it's a good time, I can get off.
Of course not. Right. How could it stay that way? Because it was a 3-year thing. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it has to involve other things after a certain point. At least for women. I don't know. Men say that they could like just have sex with someone and never develop feelings. I don't know. You know, that guy on the other end, he was like, okay, that bitch either died or her husband caught her. Like those are the only two reasons for why you would just completely disappear. Did he know like your real name and information and stuff? Did you ever give him that information? Like, could he look you up?
Yes. Yeah, I knew his real name. He knew my real name. I had written him like an actual letter in my handwriting to mail to him because he wanted that.
Uh-huh.
And he had mailed me a couple things. And so, yeah, we knew each other, you know, our real names and everything. And so,
but he never tried to reach out after you disappeared. Like he didn't sort of go after you like and get you back.
Uh-uh.
Right. That's good.
No,
that's better for
and
you.
You're probably right. Yeah. He probably knew what happened because he knew I was married and he knew the risk there. So
totally.
You're right. Once I probably just like fell off the face of the earth, he probably realized because I mean, we had been friends on Facebook and everything. And so I befriended him. I mean, every contact, all contacts.
Oh yeah, no. If you had him on your Facebook and you defriended him, he knew for sure you got busted.
Yeah, that's true.
And how long did it take you? Do you feel like for your husband to trust you again? Because he must have liked
it was a while,
right? When you say a while, do you like a year, like 6 months,
yeah.
2 years? Because I think that's hard. Like, I think that's the hardest thing for the other person. I think that's what's so devastating with cheating. I think people can work it out, but it really sucks more, I feel like, sometimes for the person that gets cheated on. Because for you, you had to like give up your guy, right? And just cut those ties. But for your husband or even for the woman in the situation, you know, they have to rebuild trust. And that's so hard to do, you know, when somebody that you trusted completely shows another side of themselves that you didn't know existed. You know, he obviously trusted you before, right? It must have been like a total slap in the face.
Right. It was. And that's, I know that's how he felt because he told me, you know, that's how he felt. And it did take a long time. And it took a long time of me like really working my ass off to prove to him that this is what I wanted. And I wasn't going to like go out again. And it has. I mean,
was it full disclosure? Did he check your phone? Like, you know, when he got paranoid or distrustful, did you like sort of show him stuff? You know what I mean? Like, how did that work?
Like, I didn't use my phone with the guy just because I was like that freaked me out. So like, I'm gonna get caught that way if I'm like using my phone. And because my husband like looks at the bill and stuff, and if there's a whole bunch of like texts and calls from some New Jersey number, it's not going to go over well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like randomly. So I kept it all to email and you know like online stuff, and I didn't keep like I sent pictures and there was like videos and stuff, but I didn't keep them around. Really, after I sent them, I erased them because I was afraid of him seeing those. Cause he'd always been like, oh, you should let me take pictures of you. And I was always like, no, I don't, like, why do you need pictures of me? I'm, like, right here. And here I was sending pictures to someone else. And
right.
So that really hurt. And so I had to erase both of them. There just happened to be the last couple days of emails, you know. And he just happened to find them. And so, I mean, I told him everything that happened. It's not like I didn't tell him the gory details as far as like, oh, he really made me come really good. His stories really, you know, got me off. It didn't
All right.
hurt him or anything like that. But
you didn't tell him what you didn't have to tell him or what he didn't know. And there's no need
right.
for that.
Right.
You know, when people, I remember once I had a caller who like was a cheater or and he didn't even get caught. He felt like I had to tell. I just think it's really selfish when people who are cheating like make themselves feel better by sort of copping to it or whatever. I don't think that that's always the best thing. I mean, your guy found out, so you had to let him know, but you didn't, like you said, have to let him know about the gory details and make him feel even worse. You know, it's bad enough
right.
to know, you know. That would be like,
yeah.
what's the point of that? You know, what's the
yeah,
difference?
Yeah, that's like rubbing it in.
Yeah, totally.
So
and if you were stopping and you were really done and you knew for sure, then does it hurt to not let him know all that? No, I think it's actually a nicer thing to do. I don't think that's, and I'm a very honest person and I believe in honesty. You know, I don't think that that's dishonest in a bad way. I think that that's when it's
right.
okay to be dishonest,
yeah, I mean,
you know?
Yeah, you don't need to like cruelly hurt someone
no.
more than you need to. It was already bad enough, so... It, and, you know, that's the part, like, I felt the affair winding down just because I was having this overload of, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, and I am, that is the most dishonest thing I've ever done.
Right.
I mean, it really is. I
mm-hmm.
don't like to be dishonest. It just, you know,
it happened.
It wasn't, like, on purpose. I wasn't searching for it. It just happened. It just is a part of my life that happened.
Yeah.
And so, I definitely felt rotten about myself at the time, and that's probably why I wasn't, like, communicating with my husband or having sex with him, because I did. I felt bad in a way because I knew I was deceiving him.
Right, you were, like, basically living a double life.
At work, you know, yeah. So there was definitely a lot of that, you know, going on.
Yeah, for sure. And but, yeah, it's like, listen, I think that's it's great when people like you tell their story because I think that people, like I said, when you take cheating stories or situations out of context and you just say this person cheated on this person, you could just be like, oh, she's a whore and he should leave her, you know, and that's it. But if you really talk to most people, like sometimes things happen. Like you said, you didn't go out looking for an affair, you know, it just happens. And that's the scary thing about relationships, and especially now with social media and everything that goes on the internet. Like, look, you met this guy through a gaming site, you know, like now people are so connected with strangers that it's so easy if you're
yes.
feeling any kind of dissatisfaction in your relationship to start for something like that to start without you even, I don't think people intend. Listen, there are some guys and women out there that are completely intentionally doing it, and that's a whole different thing. But a lot of times these kind of cheating scenarios just happen without, when you're not really thinking about it and you're not a terrible person, it's just like, it's,
yeah.
you know, it's just an issue. It's a part of your story. And in the long run, when you look back at it now, because we're not talking to you right after it happened, you know, it's great to see how the stories progress, that it actually, you'll probably say it was good for your relationship in a way, because it brought all the garbage out. So you guys could
yeah.
like discuss it and fix it. Because if not for that thing, you guys would have still just continued to be living like separate lives with each other if you didn't
yeah.
get caught, right? I mean, who was going to bring it up?
I wouldn't bring it up.
No, you would have just kept getting your rocks off somewhere else, because that was easier than
yeah.
doing what you and your husband had to do, which was really face your problems, really talk about it and do like the hard work. But I think it's great that
right.
you guys did.
And it was, I mean, it is, you know, I feel like looking back, because I still feel young sometimes, but I was really young when I got married. You know, there's 22 isn't that old to be with someone for, you know, for a long time. And so I've grown massive amounts since then. And that period of my life really made me grow. I mean, you know, my early 30s till now, I've grown a ton just because of not necessarily the good experiences, but those negative ones that have helped me along my way and helped me and my husband, because you're right. It has that. If that wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't have gotten caught, who knows where we'd be? We probably wouldn't be together. We probably would be divorced.
Right. Exactly.
And
it might have not been because he found out. It might not have been because you had a relationship. It just would have been because you guys just were so, like, you just were looking in opposite directions that your relationship
yeah.
just deteriorated beyond repair, like, and you just couldn't. So,
yeah.
like, thank God that happened in a way, because it happened at the time where you guys could still make it work. And I think that that's...
Right. There,
you know,
is, there was a huge disconnect, and it let us reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Right.
It, you know, you can't look back completely negative on things because, you know, it shapes who you are today, and it really did shape our relationship now. So
yeah, I don't think so. That's why I like to tell, like, I think it's great that, you know, we're talking to you like 3 years out, because if it just happened, like, sometimes things seem like terrible things and you don't really know how great they are until a couple of years later, no matter what it is in your life, you know? I mean, I believe that that's what life's about. I think everything that happens to us, even the harshest things, and most of the time, those are the things that teach us the most. And those are the things that you're like, oh, wow, I'm so grateful. I've had a lot of douchebag guys in my life, but I look at them as like, oh, blessings that came, you know, people that came into my life that taught me certain things. And that's what I needed to do. They're not terrible people. Like, I believe, you know, you attract situations to yourself so that you could grow and change and do the things that you need to do. And it's all, that's just life, you know? And if anyone thinks they're going to avoid things like that, they're really not living. You know, living is not about being happy all the time and being perfect and doing everything right. You know, you don't grow that way. It's just not the way that it goes. We're all fucking imperfect, crazy people, you know, and learn the way we learn and the way we have to. And, you know, that's just the way that it goes. But I think, you know, your story is interesting because, like I said, it shows the progression of everything that you've been through, and you guys are in a better place. And that shows that, you know, that can happen for other people.
Yep. I agree. And I think more people should, you know, try to fight if they want to. Obviously, I'm not against divorce at all. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. My parents are divorced, and I totally advocated for them to get a divorce.
Right. When it's so toxic.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. But it seemed like you and your guy, like, it wasn't like you guys just thought, like you said, there was like a disconnect. I think sometimes they, you know, you see people and they're in relationships and it's just like, it's like someone's trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Like, it's just not right. You know what I mean? And it's not because they disconnected or because a child came into play. It's like they're just fundamentally not right for each other, you know? And those kind of relationships, you're like, oh, thank God they got divorced or broken up.
Yeah,
you know, because it's so toxic to be around that energy of two people that just shouldn't be with each other. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, you said your guy was like a nice guy and you seem like really grounded and you were like a relationship person. So seems like you guys were right and compatible with each other. You just went through a difficult time, like, which is very normal after being with someone for that many years at that time in your life. You're completely right. I'm 46. Like, you change so much as a person, you know, from like 20 to 35. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And then you keep changing in your 40s, but it's a different kind of changing. But you wear many different faces, you know, when you're in 20s. And I didn't have kids or got married. I would have fucked everything up if I did. So I give you credit that you were able to hold it together. You know, you're pretty stable for your age, you know, to be able to sort of go through all that changes and still stay on the same page and be able to make a relationship work. I think that that's really hard to do, because you are changing and growing at that time in your life. So I think it's, you know, and whether you broke up, and even if you and your husband divorced it 2 years from now, it still wouldn't be a failure. Like, that's a big success.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I wouldn't feel like anything we've done has been a failure up to this point. We've managed to stay together for a really, really long time. I mean, 14 years we've been together, and that's a long time.
That's very long. And I can't stand when people think that, like, oh, a marriage failed if they broke up after, you know, 10 years or 8 years or 15 years or 30. It's like, that's not a failure. That's, like, just the way life goes. It's, like, very rare that maybe you're going to meet somebody that's going to stay on the same path and be meant to stay by you doing the same thing your whole life, you know? Some people have that, some people don't, but like 14 years is a really long time, and maybe you will go the distance with him and that's great, but even if you didn't, like you said, at this point it would still be like a really successful relationship. I don't see divorce as a failure. Sometimes it's just a change of life, you know? It's just a change, and people look at it very negatively, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, like I said, I'm not against divorce. Sometimes you're right, people do change. I mean, I've changed a lot, and luckily he's changed enough in the same way. We're, you know, it's not like we grew apart. So.
Uh-huh. How old are your kids now?
11 and 8.
Right. And no more kids, right? So you're past the, like, the difficult kid thing.
Right. Yeah, no more kids.
That's great. So I think it's, I'm glad you called in, because I don't know, like, I mean, I think people will really be into, like, the hot stories of all your threesomes and stuff, but I also think it's interesting, you know, how you got through a cheating scenario and distrust in a relationship and a major break like that, and how you came back together. For me, that's what I take out of it, and I think it's really great for to talk about it and let people hear in real life how things work, you know, in context.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know?
It'd be nice if it, you know, somebody heard it and it helped them too, but yeah, it's nice to just get everything out and say your story, because, you know, not everybody knows. I mean, not everybody knows that I had crazy threesomes with two dudes at once, and not everybody needs to know that. So it's
right,
nice,
but isn't it fun to kind of like let people know and relive? I mean, there was a Brazilian girl that called in recently, and she was just like, she was lived in New York, and she was like this girl that was like obsessed with this guy who wasn't so great, but she really was into him sexually. So she'd just get wasted and then drunk dial him and go and have sex with him. And she really made me miss that time in my life. You know, I'm older now. I don't do those kind of things, and I'm not going to go back to it, but it's fun sometimes to sort of reminisce about it or remember those days, you know, because you're like, oh, the good old days when you didn't give a shit about it. You're having sex all day because there's nothing else to do. You're having threesomes, whatever, you know, and it's not all serious, you know. So I think it's fun sometimes to go back and relive those times, because when you get older, it's just not about that anymore. It's just other things.
Right. I love reliving those memories. It's great. That's why it's nice to be able to talk about it, because, you know, not everybody wants to hear about your sex life. So.
People will be very judgmental.
Yes,
it's sad, but true. Especially more so, it sucks. I think more so for women than men. You know,
I agree.
It still is that way. It's ridiculous. Like, men could go out and fuck a million people, but if they found out, like, a girl, like, you're 14, you had sex, if they found out you had threesomes, oh my God, forget about it. But a guy with two girls, oh my God, there's like, he gets trophies for that shit. You know, it's still a little bit of a double standard. So you should probably keep your stories a little bit to yourself, you know, because I think people unfortunately tend to be too judgmental. But, you know, I know my listeners.
They do.
I know my listeners are going to love those stories.
Well, good.
So thanks for calling in, Rainbow. I love your name.
Yes,
I didn't call
you
Rainbow as much as I should have. People would be calling. They're like, oh, Joe or Jim, these guys. No one's like interesting. But I think I have a guy named Cotton calling this week, and I have Rainbow. So I have good names this week. So thanks for calling in, and thanks for being a listener to the show. And if anything ever happens in the future, you know, I always have repeat callers on. If, like, you have another illicit affair, which I hope you don't, you know, we'll definitely have you back on.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.